Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on miracle foods, or the miracle food cures from the Bible, when we come back. You know, in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause. You'll find it in Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." Now, that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. It's public business that's conducted in commercial paper. You know, commercial paper, things like stocks and bonds and Federal Reserve notes and credit cards, debt and usury. Well, back in 1965, Congress said that there's no difference in the value of gold and silver coin and the clad coin and currency in circulation. And you know, that's very true when you're dealing with banks and government and commercial industries. But out here in the real marketplace, out here in the real world, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold over paper, and there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper versus the gold. Now, God and our founding fathers did not give us gold and silver coin because they didn't have a good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary, imperative for us, you and I, to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, don't think for a moment that your Congress and your politicians, when they took your gold and silver coin away from you back in 1933, didn't do that for a very good reason. And the reason was they knew full well back in 1933 that if they were going to subjugate the American people, a free people, they would first have to take away the people's gold and silver coin in order to take away the people's right to own property and then to destroy their property rights. And they did. So if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights, because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me teach you how to do just that in our business school, which is now on compact disc for you adult homeschoolers. Now, if you'd like more information about my private business school, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first. Now, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, the medical monopoly, that is the allopathic medicine doctors, are in the process of outlawing vitamins, minerals, and supplements. Vitamins, minerals, and supplements. Today, those are called foods. You can go into any health food store. Shucks, you can probably go into your local supermarket and buy multivitamins. But that is coming to an end. It's coming to an end because the vitamin and mineral supplements prevent disease. And there's no money in well people. People who are sick are a treasure trove. They are a group of people to be mined and milked, but healthy people aren't. Now, over the years, we have been watching the medical monopoly grow. It is now a colossus. It's unstoppable. There's nothing that you can do that's going to stop this medical monopoly. I wouldn't waste my time on it. There are others out there who are fighting with the medical doctors and the pharmaceutical companies and so on, and lobbying in Congress and all of that. God bless them. I wish them well, but they're wasting their time. That's the bottom line. Now, the medical monopoly, to give you an illustration, the other day my wife went into a medical store, you know, where you buy wheelchairs and medical supplies and things like that. And she said, well, give me about 6 enema buckets. And she uses these little plastic enema buckets to do her Gerson therapy on her coffee enemas. And we've been buying them out of this store for probably the last 25 years. And she was informed the other day that, gee, no, we can't sell you these enema buckets. Why not? Well, you got to have a prescription. Well, why do I need a prescription? Well, you might overdose, you know, you might put too much water, you know, up your rectum, and you might hurt yourself. Now, boys and girls, when was the last time you heard of somebody doing an enema and they hurt themselves? That doesn't have anything to do with health, safety, and welfare of the public. It has everything to do with medical monopoly. You have to go to a doctor, pay a doctor's office call, and get a prescription. You're entering into a guardian-ward relationship. The medical monopoly says, we don't think that you people ought to decide whether you should or shouldn't have an enema. We think that we need to prescribe that for you. Now, there was another thing that came up. She said, well, sell me some eye cups. I'm out of them. I don't know what happened to it. Eye cup? You know, that's that little thing that you put some fluid in and you stick it up on your eye and you throw your head back and you wash your eye out. No. You can't buy one of those either without a doctor's prescription. Eye cups and enema buckets you can't get without a doctor's prescription. What the hell's going on here? So, as it turned out, she went over to the local drugstore, and she had to buy some fluid. You know, I don't know what the fluid was, you know, like it's eye wash of some kind, but in the box, there's an eye cup, which is what we went in to buy in the first place. So, in the medical supply store, you can't buy the eye cup, but you can buy the eye cup over at the drugstore if you buy it in the box. Costs you $10. So we can get around it. I mean, it's not that you can't get an eye cup. It isn't that you can't get an enema bucket. I happen to have a few students here in the school that are medical doctors, and yeah, they can go get those things for us. But why shouldn't you be able to go buy these kinds of things for yourselves? Now, there's a product called Gentian Violet. Gentian Violet. It's a purple stuff. It's got a dye in it of some kind, and it kills ringworms. Oh, it's great stuff for ringworms. And when I was a little kid, you know, we'd be playing with cats and dogs and mangy dogs, and they get ringworms, and we'd come in, we have this ringworm on us, and so my granny, she'd go get the Gentian Violet, and she'd come paint that up, you know, and you know, I was really proud, you know, I'm 4 or 5 years old, and I've got this purple splotch on my arm or hand or leg or wherever it is, and I'd show it to all my friends, hey, I got ringworm, look at my ringworm, I got Gentian Violet on there, look at that. And in about a week or 10 days, you know, the Gentian Violet, it kills the parasite or whatever it is that causes this ringworm, and it goes away. Now, you can't buy Gentian Violet today. Just go in the drugstore and tell them you want Gentian Violet. Oh, God, my, you can't have that. You got to have a prescription. Now, you can go into any veterinarian and buy it, you know, for your dogs and cats and horses. But you can't buy it in the drugstore for ringworm. That's because you got to go to the doctor and have the doctor treat your ringworm. What this is monopoly. We've created a monopoly, a medical monopoly. And this medical monopoly, as time progresses along, is going to choke us down, and you won't be able to buy these herbs. You know, the herbs that I've been telling you about this week. Let's take the herb bloodroot. Bloodroot, the active ingredient in Essiac that kills the tumor, and then the other 5 ingredients clean it out. Alright, well, you've got the 5 ingredients to clear it out, but you don't have the active ingredient to kill it. Now, the medical doctors know that bloodroot kills cancer, and so they have outlawed cancer. What they do is they go to the FDA and they say, hey, we need this outlawed. The FDA looks at this bloodroot and says, yes, it's true. Bloodroot is a poison. If it's taken in sufficient quantities, it could kill somebody. So therefore, you've got to have a doctor's prescription, or you've got to have some kind of a license, a bond or insurance or something to deal in bloodroot. Now listen, out here in our herb garden, we have bloodroot. We have all of these herbs. I plant these herbs myself, and there's a particular herb that I want to tell you about that comes from the Bible, which is called the hawthorn berry. This hawthorn berry is so valuable, it would wipe out heart disease in America. I mean, we could wipe out heart disease in America with hawthorn berries. We're not going to do that. That isn't going to happen. Because heart disease is the number one disease in America. It kills more people and produces more revenue for the medical establishment than any other disease. My God, we surely can't get rid of a cash cow like that. But some of you people out there may have heart trouble, or you may not have heart trouble yet, but you may be developing heart trouble. I mean, if you eat like the average American, you are developing heart trouble, and you're going to get heart trouble. And then there might be four or five of you out there that don't want to spend the time, effort, and energy, or maybe pay with your life, and so maybe there's another solution. Well, there is. Now, in the Bible, in Luke 23, Mark 15 and Matthew 27, it talks about this crown of thorns that was jammed into the Messiah's head. Do you remember that they plaited a crown of thorns? Well, that crown of thorns was the hawthorn berry. Now, while the story itself here, you know, in Matthew 27 doesn't tell you about the medicinal value of this hawthorn berry, it tells you about the hawthorn berry, and then we come to modern medical science. Well, is there something in this hawthorn berry mentioned in the Bible that might be of value to us? And boy, is there. Well, according to Christian legend, the crown of thorns is believed to have been made of hawthorn, as was the staff of Joseph of Arimathea, the man who took Jesus down off of the stake. And for thousands of years, this herb has been said to possess miraculous healing powers. The leaves and berries for digestive and urinary problems, the berries and seeds for kidney stones and dropsy. That is water retention. As a tea, it was said to cure nerve problems. Hawthorn's most famous use, however, is as a remedy for heart and circulatory problems. Heart and circulatory disease. That's the main function that we've discovered with hawthorn. So down here in my fields, I've got several hawthorn trees. It's actually not a tree. It's kind of like a big bush, a big piece of brush. It looks like a miniature tree. And it produces these red berries. And again, like caffeine and coffee, these hawthorn berries have a certain chemical, biologic chemicals, that will clean out your arteries and protect you from blood pressure, high blood pressure, excessive cholesterol, and plaque in your arteries. Now, I told you the story about Dr. Lester, about what he did for me. I had a heart attack back in 84. You know, I used to eat like the all-American diet, you know, the McDonald's specials. And as a result of that, I plugged up my arteries, and my arteries now are all plugged up. And old Lester, he asked me one day, he says, "Hey, how long has that pain been in your heart?" And I said, "Since 17. Since the age of 17, from 17 to about 43. How long is that? Hell, it was 20 some years. 17 to 20, 37. Hell, it was longer than that. 25 years. I had had this pain in my heart. Not all the time, just sometimes. I'd lay on my left side and I'd get this terrible sharp pain over here. You know, and I'd have to stretch out and couldn't get my breath and had this problem. So I went to Lester and he put me on what they call oral chelation. Discovered again by the medical practice, the legitimate above ground medical doctors. God bless them for it. These medical doctors are geniuses. They have come up with all kinds of neat stuff to save us. It's just a tragedy that they don't use it. my God, if they would use these herbs and these discoveries that they found, they could give us almost perfect health. Of course, they would all starve to death in the process. And the medical doctors aren't stupid. They're not going to heal you of your diseases because they know that when you're healthy, you won't pay them a dime. But when you're sick, you will grovel before them to get the drugs that you need to live. They know that, and they're not dumb. And so there's this financial interest in the medical practice that isolates the doctor from the patient over this money issue. Well, the miraculous healing power of the hawthorn berry, says Dr. Eric Powell, is probably the finest general heart tonic ever discovered. It is absolutely harmless. It can only do good. Will never be contraindicated in any type of heart affected, although in some instances other remedies may be called for. It is without equal as a remedy for most heart cases, says Dr. Powell, and he speaks with some authority, as he himself was cured with hawthorn when given up to die of heart disease as a child. He says he has been prescribing hawthorn berry extract for his patients for 35 years and with the most pleasing results. Now, this Dr. Perry, if he gets found out, will be disbarred. He will have his medical license taken from him. Now, I also want to speak for the thousands of legitimate, honest-to-God medical doctors who not only know this, but actually go contrary to the medical society and actually use these alternative therapies at the risk of losing their licenses and at the risk of being prosecuted and at the risk of being imprisoned. I'm going to tell you a little story here. I had a guy one time, he called me, he was a cancer researcher, a very prominent cancer researcher. And I think he was out in Denver, Colorado, and he called and he said he's being prosecuted by the attorney general there for using unapproved cancer curing techniques, which he had been doing. And he's a licensed medical doctor. And I pointed out to him, I said, well, you know what your problem is. And he said, yeah, but the truth of the matter is I have to use these unapproved therapies to save my patients' lives. I said, okay, that's all well and good, but it's a violation of the law. See, the legislature of Colorado comes out and they make a law. And they say, thou shalt not use these unapproved techniques or therapies in the treatment or the cure of cancer. I mean, they just come right out and tell you that. And, or they pass that power and authority over to some agency or board, like the licensing board. And so then the medical licensing board passes rules and regulations for their doctors. Now, you get cancer or heart disease and you've had a heart attack or something, you go to your doctor and you don't know what in the hell to do for your heart attack. You haven't got a clue. You don't know what caused it. You don't know how to prevent it. You don't know what to do next. So you go to the doctor. Now, there are a lot of doctors out there that know what to do, and this Dr. Powell is one of them, and he's been using these hawthorn berries to heal his heart patients for many, many years. So if he keeps it on the QT, and I've talked to Dr. Lester, and a lot of times he'll tell somebody, well, here, you'll give him a prescription and he'll say, now you go down there and you buy this prescription. And then you take that and you put it up on the shelf and every day you take one of those pills and flush it down the toilet. Don't ingest it, just flush it down the toilet. And then he'll hand that same guy this little bottle of pills or some homeopathic remedy or some hawthorn berry or some herb, and he'll say, here, you take this in its place. See, I have to prescribe for you what the law requires. And what the law requires isn't going to heal you, isn't going to cure you, probably will make you worse, and it might even kill you, but that's what the law requires. Now, most doctors are going to prescribe whatever the regimen calls for from the legislature and the medical society. That's the law. That's what they do. That's where their money's made. It's where their bread is buttered. And God bless them. Now, there's another group of doctors out there that are smart enough to know. Now, there's a guy by the name of, I'll think of his name here in a second. The guy that wrote the book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. Mendelsohn. Guy's name is Robert Mendelsohn. You gotta buy this guy's book because he not only was a medical doctor, he not only was a pediatrician, he not only was at the peak of his profession, but he was a professor in a medical school teaching doctors. This is a teaching doctor, and he's in the medical practice, been there for many, many years. He's dead now, but he was in there many years, and he wrote this book. He said, he called it The Confessions of a Medical Heretic. That was one book, and then he wrote another one. He said, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. And that was his recommendation. He says, you take this stuff that you get from the doctor. You take this stuff that you're getting from the pharmacist, and you take one a day and flush it down the toilet, and then here's what you do if you want to cure yourself. Now, there are doctors like him around, Mendelsohn. And there's quite a few, but you're going to have to feel them out. You got to feel him out a little bit. Because, see, if you just walk into his office and you say, Doc, I want you to sell me some blood root over here. See, he thinks you're coming from the FDA. He thinks that you're an undercover cop, a sting, coming in here to take his license and to pinch him and put him in prison. He doesn't want that. So it's kind of like buying drugs, you know, from Joe down on the corner. Yeah, I mean, if you want to get the effective stuff that's going to cure your diseases, the medical doctors know what they are, and the medical doctors can get them, but they can't prescribe them for you. And so what they do is this. You get the average Joe Dokes dum-dum, and he comes in the office, and the doctor prescribes the standard bill of fare, which ultimately kills him. And then you get the Sally housewife, and she comes in, and maybe she knows a little something. She says, hey, Doc, I need a solution to this problem. And I happen to have heard about bloodroot, or I've heard about hawthorn berries, or I've heard about this or that or something else. And if he knows you, and you've been a customer there for a long time, and he says, well, you're right, Mary, you're right. Hawthorn berries will do it for you. I can't get them for you, and I can't prescribe it, but here. And he'll give you a name and address. And he'll say, you can get hawthorn berries from this guy. Or you can get these herbs from this outfit, or like Essiac. See, you have to go to Canada to get that. Sometimes you have to go to Mexico to get these herbs, to get these treatments, to get these kind of cures. You got to leave the country. But I just wanted to point out to you, there's a lot of medical doctors out there, and I happen to have had the pleasure of meeting a number of them. I've had students come here, medical doctors, and they'll make these kinds of confessions. Yeah, we know about that. Yeah. But you know, of course, it's against the law for us to prescribe or use it. Yeah, I know that too. And so what they do for certain select clients and patients, they prescribe what you need to cure your disease. And again, I keep underlining medical doctors, because the medical profession has really done a tremendous amount of research, a tremendous amount of investigation, and they have proven that these old herbs are actually good. They actually work. These are the guys that have done it. So the hawthorn berry, says Dr. Powell, is probably the finest general heart tonic ever discovered. Hawthorn berry. As a tonic, it is the finest ever discovered. The healing power of the hawthorn berry was discovered accidentally. John Wesley, an 18th century English clergyman, noticed that when his horses became winded and exhausted, they would nibble on hawthorn berries, and then they would recover very quickly. So Wesley began using hawthorn berries with excellent results as an energy tonic for members of his church. Then, in the late 1800s, a Dr. Green of County Clare, Ireland, acquired a great reputation and became very wealthy by means of a medicine that he kept secret. But on his deathbed, in 1894, his daughter said that the remedy was a tincture of the ripe berries of the English hawthorn. This produced an explosion of interest. This ignited an explosion of interest in the medical world, and innumerable articles by doctors appeared, citing their amazing experiences with Hawthorne. Typical is this one by Crawford R. Green, M.D. of Troy, New York, which appeared in the Homeopathic Recorder in May of 1908. The action of Hawthorne is so broad that there are few heart conditions that it does not include, and none that contraindicate that it doesn't work. In fact, it may be regarded as approaching a specific for cardiac conditions in general. So I want to pause right there, and that's specifically what the herbalists tell us, that it's a cardiac special. Now, it acts both as a powerful heart tonic and as a stimulant. It profoundly affects the circulation, strengthening the weak pulse and regulating its rhythm, correcting alike tachycardia, bradycardia, low pulse, or simple arrhythmia, irregular pulse, and apparently regardless of cause. Its action is valvular heart conditions, or invalvular heart conditions, is truly remarkable. Whether the mitral or aortic area be affected, it seems to have positive power to dissolve valvular growths of calcareous or vegetative origin. It is of value also in heart conditions caused by or associated with anemia. Hawthorne has saved many lives in cases of organic disease with failing compensation or circulation. In the pronounced edema of such conditions, it manifests a diuretic action in every respect rivaling that of digitalis. In heart pains of various kinds, Hawthorne often gives relief when other remedies fail. In angina pectoris, it is of inductible value. Jennings has reported its use in a series of 40 cases of true angina with remarkably good results. All right, let me pause here for a moment. Let me point something out to you. See, many of you are probably sitting there saying, yeah, Gordon, that all sounds good, but where in the hell am I going to get these Hawthorne berries? And then how much do I take? How much is a dose and how much is going to kill me? And when I've got heart pain or, you know, what should I do? Well, the first thing that you should keep in mind is that a little bit is probably good, but that doesn't mean that a whole lot more is going to be better. So, one day my wife, now she's had cancer for a long time and it came back last year, and she said, well, I gotta take action now because I've got cancer and it's in my intestines. I don't know where exactly, but it's in my intestines again. And so she said, well, I think I'll try this Essiac. I've heard nothing but good results about Essiac and I want to try it. And of course it doesn't have the bloodroot, and so she went out to Joe on the street corner and she got some bloodroot. And it happens that the bloodroot is already put into capsules. And I forgot now whether she got it out of Canada or Mexico or someplace, but she got it. And then it's got a recommendation on there, and it says, we'll take two of these every day, see. Now, my wife's a pretty cautious lady. And so she took a half. She took one capsule, and she cut it in half. And then, of course, you got to stick that into another capsule, see. And then... So then she took it. Now remember, they're recommending two, and it made her sick. See, that bloodroot now is poison. It's kind of like poke or anything else. It's, you know, there's certain herbs now, and they've got some toxic reaction to them. And so she took a half of one. Now she's already sick. She's already weak. So instead of starting off with two or three, or, you know, the old American trick, well, if one or two's good, then four or five's got to be better. We like to be pretty cautious, and so she took a half of one. Boy, that was more than enough for her. And then pretty soon she got up to where she could do a whole one a day. And it did the trick. Now, if she'd have taken two, you know, or three or four, you know, it could harm you. Now, take these Hawthorne berries. Let's suppose you got heart pain. I had heart pain. Now, if you took this, and you can buy this stuff, by the way. I mean, you can go to the health food store and tell them, I want to buy Hawthorne berry powder, put it in capsules, and we'll take it. And then they've got books and periodicals and articles and things like that, and you can go to medical encyclopedias, and you can look at the research on things that I'm reporting to you here on the Hawthorne berry. It isn't that, you know, let's suppose that you're a truck driver and you're listening to me and you're going down the road and you're saying, well, all the sounds are really great, but, you know, how do I actually put this into practice? Very, very simply. You go to your local health food store and you say, well, gee, I heard some reports on Hawthorne berry. I'd like to get a book on Hawthorne. I'd like to get a book or an article or a periodical, or where do I go to get more information on this Hawthorne berry? And they've got it there, or they'll get it for you. If they don't have it in stock, they'll get one for you. And like as not, it has been a medical study that's done at some prestigious college or university or medical school. Somebody wrote it up, probably has been published in the Lancet or the American Medical Association's journal or something like that, and tell you the story. And then they'll tell you, well, here's where you get the stuff. You know, you can treat yourself, assuming, of course, that you've got a brain. Now, most Americans are lacking in common sense, and they don't have a brain left with which to make these kinds of decisions for themselves. For those people, they need to continue going to their medical doctors and doing what they're told. It'll kill you over time, but then, you know, at least it won't be you killing you, it'll be somebody else. Now, if you've got a brain and you can still think and you can still function, and, you know, you want to take charge of and take control of your own body, you know, there's still four or five of us out there that have come to that conclusion. Well, then I think you can probably use Hawthorne. That's why I've got my own trees down here, so that I've got it available, because they're going to take it away from us. See, the day is coming when Hawthorne is going to be outlawed, just like bloodroot, and you won't be able to get it. Well, except for Joe down on the street corner. What that'll do, it'll make a booming underground business, just like cocaine, heroin, marijuana is a booming business. I mean, there's no shortage in America of cocaine, heroin, or marijuana. All you got to do is outlaw it, and that'll make a booming business. Well, just outlaw bloodroot, and there's a booming business in bloodroot. Just outlaw supplements, and there'll be a booming business in supplements. You'll have to buy them down on the street corner from old Joe, you know, the heroin dealer, like gentian violet, you know. You won't be able to get it. And then you'll have to be sneaking around like a common criminal in order to get these kinds of herbs. That's why I try to grow as many as I can myself. So if you're of that bent, you know, you might want to have a hawthorn tree. You might want to have, you know, some herbs in your herb garden out there that you might need to use someday. You might not be available to you. Let me give you a reminder here at the halfway point. And we'll go on talking about this thing called the Hawthorne berry, the miracle cure, the miracle tonic for heart disease. All right, you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the law school or The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. 67. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend these books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements are recommendations that we give. Don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily 100% or wholly endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Again, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, the Hawthorne Berry story is on page 95 of this book that we're reviewing called Miracle Food Cures from the Bible by Reese Dubin, R-E-E-S-E-D-U-B-I-N, published by Prentice Hall, Miracle Food Cures from the Bible. There's another one that I've had some personal experience with called barley. Barley. Can you imagine something as simple as a grain called barley having miraculous medical benefits? Now, keep in mind that I'm only able to talk about a few items. For instance, we talked about aloe vera and celery, parsley, chericet, essiac, hawthorn, and now I'm going to talk about barley. I'll talk about peppermint. There are a number of these herbs. I told you the other day there's 150 of them. And each and every one of these herbs has a purpose, has a use. You don't have to learn every single use and every single purpose for all of these herbs. You just need to be smart enough that when a symptom develops and you go to the doctor and he says, oh my God, you've got diabetes, cancer, muscular dystrophy, or multiple sclerosis, that instead of panicking and having your right leg cut off or a radical mastectomy, that you sit back, take a breath, and say, okay, doc, thanks a lot for the information and the test. Now let me go see what I think I want to do about that. Now, of course, the doctor is going to say, oh my God, you've got to have bypass surgery. You've got to have surgery, or you've got to have instant treatment. Well, just back off. You know, another day or two isn't going to kill you. And take a look at alternative therapies, because there is an alternative therapy for every disease. No exceptions. Every disease has an alternative therapy. Now, the alternative therapy may not work in every single case. There are, you know, odd cases. My Aunt Floy was one. She had so many ailments, so many allergies, so many medical problems, no doctor on earth could ever cure her, heal her, or do anything for her. Now, that was a classic hypochondriac. Now, most of the people that the essiac treatment was used on helped them, cured them, or did something for them, in some cases didn't do anything and they died. Well, that's the way medical science works. I mean, you know, the medical doctor, he does everything he can and the patient dies anyway. Or he does everything that he can and the patient survives. You know, not everybody responds to surgery. Some people that go in and go under the knife die under the knife, or from the results that come from the knife. So just because it's been operated on and surgically removed doesn't mean that you're cured of cancer, or it's a successful operation, or that you're going to live happily ever after. So with that in mind, you might try one of these programs and find out, well, that didn't solve my problem. I need something else. It might be that you're not just short of vitamin B6. It might be that you're short of two or three vitamins or minerals, and that the particular herb that you're taking is not supplying everything that you need, and you need some more. You might need a little help along that line. Now, most medical doctors, if they put their minds to it, could help you, but they won't. Most will not. They're not going to risk their license. They're not going to risk jail. Some will. I don't know what the proportion is, but I've run across a number. I could probably tell you about 10 medical doctors who would risk their license, you know, if it's not, you know, too insane. And then upon the right recommendation, might come out and actually say, yeah, I'd recommend that for you. Yeah, I'll go get those enema buckets for you. Yeah, I'll help you with the Gerson therapy. Well, there's another miracle herb over here, which is called barley. It's on page 125. So let me hit this barley story here for you. I think you'll like it. I'll tell you a couple of experiences that we've had with it here. Because we think it's a miracle cure also. And we also eat barley. I mean, you know, there's barley cereals and there's barley that's used in various foods. And we use pearled barley, you know, in soups and things like that. So, you know, you're probably familiar with barley. And barley is used to make beer. And, of course, all of us love beer. And so we can readily relate to this barley thing. Well, one of the disciples, Andrew, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what is not among, but what is that among so many?" Jesus said, "Well, make the people sit down." So the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks, and distributed this barley to these people. And when everybody had had enough, he sent his disciples through, gathered up the pieces that were left over, and they gathered up 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves that were left uneaten. Remember, this is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And it just so happens that they were barley loaves and fish that he used to do this. And so here's a food mentioned in the Bible more than once, but, you know, here's an example of it. What are the medical properties, or what are the health properties of this food called barley? Just a humble grain. Well, barley and wheat were the most important grains grown throughout the Holy Land. As we see in Deuteronomy 8, verse 8, barley was more popular because it could grow in poorer soil and it could survive heat and drought better. Wheat was for the rich. Barley was for the poor. It's tougher. It's chewier. It's the less desirable of the two. And, of course, then it left it for the poor people to eat barley and the rich people ate wheat. In fact, it was a universal symbol of poverty and humility to eat barley. To make it taste better, working-class people would often mix fava beans, lentils, and honey along with the barley, and several other ingredients along with this barley. And the bread so made was called barley cakes. It was a poor or lowly person, and who was very scornfully referred to as a cake of barley bread. Cake of barley bread. But this barley bread, according to the Gemara Book of Biblical Commentaries, which is called spear water, when we take it into the laboratory and we dissect it and we look at it, we find that it has an anti-cancer power in a grain which was blessed by Jesus. In Double the Power of Your Immune System, published back in 1991, John Heinerman tells how green barley juice worked for a woman with melanocarcinoma. Linda Y., a 33-year-old Chinese-American from Los Angeles, shared a recent experience with me that she hoped would benefit some of my readers. She said about 8 months earlier, a pigmented mole on her right thigh started, giving her some problems. So she consulted several skin specialists. They referred her to a prominent oncologist at UCLA Medical Center. He pronounced it a rare form of melanocarcinoma, which he thought was treatable with combined chemotherapy and radiation. Upon learning of the drastic side effects of both, however, she decided to take her chances with more natural things instead. Someone told her about Bakuro Kuso Bakuri Okuso from Japan, which she started taking faithfully. I haven't got a clue what that is. And she reported that her melanocarcinoma began subsiding within several weeks of taking this Bakuri Okuso. Bakuri Okuso is plain green barley juice powder. She took one teaspoonful in a glass of juice or plain water with every meal. God, that's gross stuff. Well, it looks bad. Now, my wife takes it quite often, and she's used to it. Frankly, I'm a Hershey and a chocolate man. She gets on to this barley green and Brussels sprouts and broccoli and wheatgrass and this other good stuff for you over here. But I thought I'd share with you a couple of side effects that you get from this barley. Now, this barley green that she's taken, evidently the Japanese name is spelled Bakuryokuso. That's Japanese for barley green. Now, you can buy this barley green anywhere. You can get it in the health food stores. I imagine, hell, you could get it in a drugstore. I guess you could get all it is barley chopped up real fine, powdered, and then dried. Barley green. It works probably the same way that wheatgrass does. Now, wheatgrass, what you do is you just take wheat and you sprout it in trays. Go into Wild Oats, you know, you people in Reno, just go into Wild Oats, walk up, sidle up, you know, to the juice bar and say, hey, partner, give me a carrot juice with a shot of wheatgrass. And that girl behind the counter, you know, she'll just go to work on that and she'll make you up this drink. Now, watch that wheatgrass. She goes over with some scissors and she cuts off this green growing wheatgrass that's growing in a tray, and she sticks that into this juicer over here. And this god-awful looking green goop comes out the bottom over here, and she sticks this 1 ounce cup or 2 ounces, and she sticks it in your carrot juice. You can drink it right down, and it doesn't taste bad at all. Because see, the carrot juice kills the taste of the barley green, or the wheatgrass in this case. Now, this barley green over here evidently has about the same effect, because Ann Wigmore was curing cancer with wheatgrass clear back in the 1950s. Wheatgrass. Well, anyway, my wife, she's had cancer now for 28 years, and every once in a while this cancer flares up, see? And it flares up in her right breast, and you can feel her right breast, and it's got this hard. I mean, the whole breast is hard. Hey, you know, it's not as hard as a baseball, but it's hard. Not soft at all. And so she'll say, hey, feel this, and I'll feel it, and I'll say, oh my God, you know, it's hard, and she'll say, yeah. And then she'll go out and she'll take this barley green off the shelf, and she'll mix it in water, and she'll drink this barley green. And you can come back 24 hours later, and it will be just as soft and normal as her other breast. Now, this has been going on. I've been married to this woman now for over 20 years. It's been going on for 20 years. And she keeps using this barley green, just like this Chinese woman here. See, this Chinese woman, she's got this cancer on her thigh. She goes in, and if my wife went in and had that biopsied and had a pap smear, and she had, this breast x-ray or whatever it is, mammography or mammogram or whatever it is, they'd say, lady, my God, you've got breast cancer. Hell, we know that. We've known that for 20 years. And so then they'd say, well, we need to cut that off. And that'll cure it. There's no doubt about that. There is something to be said about cutting your breast off, because if you've got cancer in your breast and you cut it off, you won't have cancer in that breast anymore. That's true. That works. Told you about the lady that had her breasts cut off because she had a family history of breast cancer, and she was afraid of it. And so she went in, had her two healthy, good breasts cut off. Now, she's got that one down pat. She'll never get cancer in her breasts. Now, for those of us that aren't into radical mastectomy over here, is there something else you can do? Well, this barley green over here just works like a shot. It's worked for my wife for 20 years. And so, and she's still got both of her breasts, and they're soft, you know, 99% of the time. But every once in a while, you know, it flares up and it'll turn hard. And when it turns hard pretty fast. You know, it's in a week or less, it'll turn hard. But upon turning hard, just one glass of barley green will soften it up. Now, it probably doesn't cure it because it keeps coming back. How often does it come back? I'd say 3 or 4 times a year. All right, so now my wife for the past 20 years has had breast cancer, or if it's not breast cancer, it's hardening of the breast. Maybe it's mastitis, I don't know. In the past, it's been diagnosed by medical doctors as breast cancer, but then, you know, every time it gets hard, we don't go in and spend a lot of money having it re-diagnosed. So we're just assuming it's a reoccurrence of the old breast cancer that's been there for you know, since 1978. So she uses the barley green. So I thought I'd share that with you because that's a pretty good testimonial. And I got one more. And we got a girl here. She's 18 years old. You've probably seen her on the website, our daughter Cole. She was born back in 88, and her mother was a drug addict. Her mother was on drugs. Her mother was on cocaine, crack, marijuana, and heroin. I mean, she'd doing it all. And doing it every day. And she was a topless dancer in a bar, and she made pretty good money, and you know, one thing and another, and everything's going along just fine. And she, one day she turns up pregnant, and she, throughout her pregnancy, she just kept right on doing drugs. Now, if there was ever a baby born that should have been a crack baby, should have been that one. So, when she'd married our son, so my wife told our boy, Thor, now that baby is going to be, crack. You know, that baby is gonna be institutionalized if you don't do something. Well, what do you think we ought to do, Mom? Barley green. Barley green is what you ought to do. So, from the time this baby was born, her daddy, would mix up barley green for this baby. This baby went on barley green, you know, within a week or two after she was born. She drank a bottle, you know, of barley green every day. And the reason for doing that is that before the brain, you know how brain looks, it's all convoluted. Okay, well, before it gets all convoluted like that, it's got some pretty straight areas in it. And that barley green will go in there and it will take out all of those drug toxins. It'll clean out your brain in a newborn. Now, after this kid gets to be a few months old, we don't know how long it'll work. I mean, you know, you could have a kid that turns up with autism. And if you put that kid on barley green, and as soon as you find out this is autism, you might be able to turn that thing around. I've often thought about that because our little girl here, she should have been scrambled right from the word go. That kid is smart as a whip. I mean, she's just as normal and just as smart and just as good as she can be. And we've always thought that it was the barley green that did it. Now, of course, that's called anecdotal evidence. Anecdotal evidence. It's really not too scientific, you know what I mean? So if you've got a kid that's got autism and he's already been diagnosed with autism, you know there isn't anything you're going to do for him. And if it's early on and if there's any chance that you can get this out of this kid's brain, it would be my guess that barley green might do it. It either will or it won't. And it's totally harmless. It's a food. Well, it's still a food, but it's going to be outlawed because this stuff is not only good for what I've just described, but it's also good in other areas. And that's because it's got these chemicals in it. And I always tell people, you know, when I come here, I said, oh my God, look at the miracle of evolution. Look how all of these chemicals just evolved in all these plants. And do all of these marvelous things. Isn't that just wonderful? Now, there's the other side. Those of us that believe in creation, and we think that didn't just happen accidentally, that there was a guy over here that figured that out and then actually built it and designed it and built it that way. Now, I think I've told you this story. I'm going to tell you one more time if I didn't. A calf sucking on a cow gives off certain enzymes in its saliva which mix with receptors on a cow's teat. And it sends a signal to the cow that says that this calf is lacking in potassium or riboflavin or vitamin B6 or something else. And that cow will go out. A lactating cow will go out. If she's got access to something more than grass and clover, she will go out and she will eat whatever she needs. And so if you're watching, I go out in the field every once in a while. I've got woods out here. And so every so often I go out and I take a look around. And sure enough, you'll see a cow eating cedar needles or cedar boughs, or they'll be eating oak leaves. Now, cows don't eat oak leaves as a general diet. They don't like that kind of stuff. But they'll take a bite of this weed and a bite of that weed and a bite of this tree and a bite of that leaf, and you'll be amazed. And so we've the scientists now, these are the veterinarians and the medical doctors and the Mayo clinics and these prestigious universities. They go out and they find out little things. Now, until I told you that there was receptors that was triggered by the saliva and the enzymes in the saliva in the calf, which send a signal to the cow, 24 hours later, this cow will come back, you test her milk, and she's going to have that missing element in there. If it was potassium, the potassium will be in there. She'll go find potassium in something. She'll go eat that. Now, either that cow is real smart, and she's got great intelligence, or that cow is just as dumb as a board chewing her cud, and the designer, you know, the engineer, the master designer, God, whoever you call him, whatever he is, designed that into the cow to solve a problem, so that when that calf is deficient in some mineral, that calf is going to be nursing on that cow for 6 months. The cow goes out and gets what the calf needs so that that calf doesn't get sick. Now, if you want to look at sick calves, what you do is you go to a dairy where they're raising calves on a bucket. And they've got the latest scientific concoctions. And they've got all of these vitamins and minerals, and they've got big advertisements that come out from Purina Calf Chow. And then you just look at those calves, and they're all sick. They're underweight. They're sickly. They need electrolytes, or they've got the scours, and you're constantly sticking in penicillin or some other additives. Or you can just go out there and look at any calf sucking on any cow anywhere in the field, and there's a big, strong, healthy calf, and never have a problem, never has the scours, never has anything wrong with it. He's always in perfect health. So that sends a signal to me as a cattleman, you know, as a farmer, you know, as a husband and a father. You know, I look and I watch and I see these things. You get to be an old man, you start adding all this up, and pretty soon you say, you know, I've raised a lot of calves on the bucket, and I've never raised a bucket calf that could compete with a calf raised on a cow. And that's because I can never get the nutrients in Purina Calf Chow that are in that cow's tit. I mean, that's just where reality is at. And when that calf sucks on that cow's tit, and if that cow is short of any element, any of those 90 elements, she'll go out and get it and bring it back, and she'll have it for that calf next milking. How do you like that? So next time we'll take up some more here on this thing called barley, and I'll show you some of the scientific factors that go in here. You know, many scientists attribute the healing power of barley juice to chlorophyll. And in his book, Nature's Healing Grasses, published back in 1960, H.E. Kircher, M.D., says chlorophyll, the healer, is at once powerful and bland, devastating to germs, yet gentle to wounded body tissues. So we'll take a look at chlorophyll in barley and barley green next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. All right, let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Hey, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.